Joining me on this edition is frontman of one of the most popular and enduring bands of the last 20 years or more. Their 1996 album, Moseley Shoals, is regarded as something of a classic and soundtracked what was an unforgettable year. But 10 or so albums in, their songs remain as vibey and vital as they've ever been. Simon Fowler of Ocean Colour Scene, welcome to the Mouthcast.
Well, thank you very much indeed.
Simon, a couple of years ago, the band put out a recording of a gig at Bridgewater Hall in Manchester, accompanied by the Q string section. So I think before we talk, we'll have a listen to something from that album. So this is Ocean Colour Scene, live with The Circle.
www.themouthmagazine.com www.themouthmagazine.com.
Simon, The Circle was originally a single from the album Moseley Shoals, which, as I mentioned, is regarded as a classic. Bearing in mind that for Ocean Colour Scene, it's only one of many albums. To you as one of the writers, and obviously one of the performers, does it feel like that? Does it feel like a classic?
I think it kind of does as I've got older, yeah. At the time, we were too busy, really, to realise what was going on, I think, and how important it did seem to be to so many people. And we've, as a lot of bands do, we've toured that album in its entirety, and the response was quite staggeringly, and so many people do cite it as sort of the soundtrack to what, as you say rightly, was a very exciting time for a lot of people who are now, unfortunately, all grown up.
Yeah, all reaching what we like to call a certain age.
Yes.
Because I did wonder if, in the context of all of those other albums, if it, Moseley Shoals, if it bothered you that that was the sort of prism which the wider press and the wider public view the band.
It's a very poetic way of putting it. No. No, I don't. I don't, because, it is as it is. I mean, if, strangely, the follow-up album actually was the one that went to number one. Moseley Shoals stayed at number two for about 6 months because of Alanis Morissette, which was a shame, yes. But it was the second one. Well, it was the third album, wasn't it, Martin, already? Knocked Oasis off the perch. And that was when Noel sent us a plaque. Congratulations to the second best band in the world.
Okay. Because they were right in their pomp at the time. It knocked them off number one. I think it was their Be Here Now album, wasn't it?
I can't remember, to be honest. It could well have been, yeah.
Do you remember much about the atmosphere around making Moseley Shoals? Because the band had put out that first album in 92, which I think you're on record as saying was a kind of compromised version of the band.
It very much was, yeah. I do remember the. I mean, it was it. Moseley Shoals, the genesis of it, took forever, it seemed. And we started, when we left Fontana, we basically holed ourselves up in a studio in King's Heath in Birmingham, and spent all of our life there, really. If it wasn't there, then it was going out and enjoying the pleasures of being young, I guess.
Yeah.
So it was written over a long time, and it very much was where we learned to be a band, I think. I think, looking back on it, it was fortunate that the first album didn't go anywhere, because we weren't good enough, really, and we weren't ready, and we went and learnt how to do it, and that ended in Moseley Shoals.
Yeah. I always wondered about the record, because obviously, you know, the first album, I think you had a single in the top 50, if I remember rightly, but the first album, as you have said, was a kind of compromised version. So I did wonder about the confidence and sure-footedness of Moseley Shoals, really, whether that was a response to the first record. I've always felt it was the sound of a band with nothing to lose, perhaps created in an environment of a band having everything to lose.
Well, I think a lot of the sound is down to Brendan and Max, who produced and engineered it. We learnt with them. I mean, we met Brendan Lynch down at Paul Weller's studio, Solid Bond.
Yeah.
And we got to know he was Paul's producer, as well as producing. I can never remember the name of the band. It's the one with Carlene Anderson in. Them. Anyway. So he was pretty much the man of the moment. And we got on with Brendan like a house on fire. He was one of the gang, and so there was a lot of confidence, and I think some of that did come from Paul. He made us feel that what we were doing was real, and it wasn't just like the best hobby in the world.
Yeah. He championed the band, which was an amazing endorsement. And in a way, I suppose it was a passport to a bigger audience for Ocean Colour Scene.
Yeah, to a degree. And then we met up with Oasis as well. We went on tour with them. But quite frankly, that was... People always imagine that was a huge boost for us, but all people were there was to see Oasis, and we were a sort of a half an hour Birmingham prelude that no one really wanted to see. But that was great fun, and we introduced Noel to Paul, and that was our gang, you know, versus Blur,
yeah.
All that malarkey. So yeah, there was a lot of confidence, and Craddock is a bit of a dynamo as well, you know. There's a lot of energy, and Oscar was sort of pretty well versed in the Birmingham music scene as well. So yeah, we gained a lot of confidence. Also in Birmingham, because it's a small music scene, it was very easy to become well known very, very quickly, which we did. So we got a kind of a good following in Birmingham, and a bit of confidence from that as well, I think.
Did you feel with Moseley Shoals that it was a record that had to make a mark? you know, not that you were in Last Chance Saloon, perhaps, but...
I don't know. I can't remember. I mean, when we put out Riverboat, we certainly weren't expecting it to do what it did.
Yeah.
We thought it would be a bit of an underground sort of club. You know, there was the sort of sweat club at the time in Birmingham, and there was that sort of semi-kind of mod movement, which took in Northern Soul and the Stone Roses and the Lars. And we thought it would sort of be round about there. And then Uncle Chris came along and made us into pop stars overnight. Quite ridiculous.
Chris Evans picked up the song and used it as the theme for TFI.
Yeah, it was. I mean, Chris made the band. Chris broke the band without a shadow of a doubt. Without him, I don't know where the single would have gone. It would have probably gone top 40, maybe.
I mean, that was an incredible kind of marketing coup right there. A weekly advert on national TV, really, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yeah, well, we did the... someone at the record label was very good friends with Chris, so that was our intro there. And we did the pilot show, and I got on really well with him. And we became quite good drinking mates, me and Chris, when I lived down in London on and off. He made it into Record of the Week 2 weeks in a row. He was also, of course, doing the Radio 1 morning show. And then he made it into, then it became the walk-on theme for TFI. And that was it. Suddenly the album came out and went straight in at number two.
I mean, it's one of those great riffs, isn't it? One of those incredibly memorable riffs. It may be a bit of an obvious question, really, but was Weller an influence on you as a musician, as a fan of music?
Very much on Steve.
Right, yeah.
Steve grew up loving The Jam. The Jam were his favourite band. And he'd met Paul a few times before. He'd sort of gone down to London on the chance of meeting him, and I think got sort of thrown out by Kenny Wheeler, who was Paul's minder, come road manager. So he knew him a little bit, but it was very, very soon in that Paul invited Steve to join his touring band.
Yeah.
And he's recorded with him ever since. And that was 93. So, yeah, Steve's been in Paul's setup since 93, which is like 25 years, which is hard to believe.
Yeah, he'll get his silver watch soon.
Yes.
But what about you? What was the music you got into when you were growing up that made you want to write? Because I've always thought about you that there's a strong sense of melody. There are great tunes, beautifully crafted songs. So I'd imagine songwriters were as important to you as great sounding bands.
Yeah. I mean, as a child, as of anyone of my age, it was the Beatles.
Yeah.
And Simon and Garfunkel, I remember loving them. But as I became a teenager, I think it was Neil Young who kind of changed my life, really.
Right.
And through him, Bob Dylan, Joni Mitchell, but also David Bowie and the Velvet Underground. So basically, all the people who just wrote great songs, and a Tamla Motown as well, that was a type of music that I particularly liked.
Funnily enough, I was listening to After the Gold Rush album last night, which still sounds amazing, you know, 40, 45, 48 years on, or something like that, isn't it?
Yeah. it is, isn't it, Gunn? It's hideous. Yeah, blimey, O'Reilly, yeah. Nearly 50 years old. Oh, my God.
So, blimey. Around the time of Mosley Shoals, then, when it all took off, if you like, what was that like for you as a person? Did you find yourself caught up in it all? Because my impression is that you're with Ocean Colour Scene, that always the music comes first. The, I don't know, lifestyle sort of commensurate with success and fame is much further down the list.
Yeah, we sort of, we embrace the lifestyle very much.
Okay.
If you know what I mean. and enjoyed every moment of it.
Yeah,
it was great. It was great fun. But I say we were incredibly busy gigging and TV and radio stations. And it almost feels like another life now, really, because now I lead a very quiet life in the countryside.
How do you, I mean, obviously music, but what else do you do to fill your time? Golf, probably, by the sounds of you at the course.
No, not at all, no. I like going to country pubs, reading the newspapers. I live in a village, and that's what I live. I live a very much a village life where everyone went to everyone in the village. I'm Simon.
So it's pastoral and relaxed.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Excellent. Well, a few years ago, I sat on a patch of grass in a field somewhere at some festival and listened to you play a duo set as Simon and Oscar, so with Oscar from Ocean Colour Scene. It was this really, really nice, vibey half an hour. Those smaller gigs, musically smaller, I mean, I guess you get something different out of them.
Yeah, the one where when Oscar and I play, it's very much as the song was written.
Yeah.
More so. So, for instance, we do The Circle pretty much as a ballad. And that's, I guess, reflects me more on my background, growing up playing in pubs and folk clubs. So, yeah, I enjoy that. Also, you get to sit down, which is nice.
But without the newspaper and pint.
Yes.
You've also put out a couple of albums as Merry Mouth, which is this great, modest and committed folk rock thing. And I particularly like the Wenlock Hill album, actually, from about 3 or 4 years ago. I think there's much of great worth in there. You just mentioned your roots, partly playing in folk clubs and stuff. Is that where your heart's at?
I don't know, really. I mean, it's nice to be able to do both. I mean, that was another thing that I got into later on, perhaps, was Fairport Convention and all, and Bert Jansch and Pentangle and that sort of music as well.
Yeah, yeah. Because you also, I think, became acquainted with John McCusker, who...
Yes, yeah, John.
...is
yeah.
Kate Rusby's ex-husband and former producer, and you actually appear on one of her albums.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, he plays on quite a few Ocean Colour Scene tracks as well, John.
Yeah, yeah.
And he joined Merry Mouth as... trying to think if he plays on the records. I'm sure he must do. Yes, of course he does. He played with Andy Cutting, a melodeon player on the first album, I know. And then he came on tour with us, and that was great. That was a great lineup. He's a very, very funny bloke. He's a lovely bloke to know. And I haven't seen him for a while. So
one of the things I always remember of Andy when he played in Kate Rusby's band, that while the rest of the band were tuning up, he would kick out these wonderful recipes.
Recipes, that's right, yes. Yeah, he's a lovely bloke as well. They all are. Michael McGoldrick is somebody else who... you know, got to know as well. And the three of them was the sound of that folk, particularly with Kate. And he's now married and produces Heidi Talbot.
And again,
I think it's the same sort of lineup. I think the guy, a bass player called Andy Seward as well, who's played with John Tams and just about everybody. It's brilliant to watch those sort of people play, because they really are staggeringly good.
Yeah, a wonderful, really, really tasteful, underplayed sound almost, isn't it?
Yeah.
So. Ocean Colour Scene are playing the Cool Britannia Festival in Nebworth, which will see you return to the site of your Oasis support slot, that legendary 1996, it was more than a gig, really, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. It was a national event, wasn't it, almost, yeah.
Do you have particular memories of the, let's say, the hoo-ha around it?
I remember very little about the day, apart from when we were going on, and I stood at the side of the stage and looked out at 125,000 people and suddenly was shaken with nerves. Okay. And Chris Craddock, Steve's father, was our manager at the time, and he was holding what I would call, kids... a cine camera.
Okay.
So I went up to him and said, well, how do you use it? He just said, hold it and press that button. So I did that and walked up to the front of the stage as we walked on and filmed the crowd.
Wow.
And they responded wonderfully. And I lost my nerves then. And I remember sort of, because at the time we were in terms of record sales, we were the second biggest band in the country after Oasis.
Yeah.
So we went down really, really well, you know, because obviously a lot of people, Oasis fans, were going to be our fans. And I remember just seeing, during probably the day we caught the train, 125,000 arms in the air. And I thought, wow, we've done it.
Yeah.
So that was wonderful. I was very pleased that they asked us to do that. We also played with Manchester City as well.
Yeah, at Main Road.
Yeah.
Well, Simon, to round up, personally, I think it's a combination of the songs themselves, a moment or two in time, and particularly the authentic nature of the band. There's a real dedication there. There's always been a real dedication there in what you do. But I wondered what you thought it was about the band that has made that connection with its audience so strong and so enduring.
I guess it must be the songs. It's got to be the songs, hasn't it? And as you say, it happened at the right time. But, I mean, probably our biggest audience, well, it is in Scotland, so how we pulled that one off, I really don't know. I mean, we're kind of honorary Scots, so I don't know how it happened, and I don't know what the audience, how they connected so strongly with us. I've always thought it was our looks.
Of course, it couldn't be anything else, Simon. The very best of luck for the Cool Britannia thing and for whatever else comes along Ocean Colour scene-wise.
Yeah, well, I'm writing at the moment, and I know Oscar's been down at Steve's studio down in Devon doing some stuff, so hopefully we can come out with something next year, which would be new, and that'd be nice, and go and play that to people.
Excellent, and I've also got my fingers crossed for another Merry Mouth record, actually.
Well, maybe one day.
Excellent. Simon, thank you very much for your time.
Cheers, thank you very much indeed.
Never saw it as a star. It's more change of heart. Rapping on the windows, whistling down the chimney pipe. Pulling off the dust in the room where I forgot. Arena plans and solid books. Stepping through the door like a cheaper door, just an hour away. The trees on the roadside, feeling it's a brighter day. You and I should ride the coast to wind up in our favorite coast, just miles away. Roll another, ride another song like Jimmy Earl. The day called the train. Sipped another rum and coke. You told a dirty joke. I walk in like Groucho sucking on a number 10. Going on the floor where the cigarette buns would do. I'm just a crush and I'm on again. I'm stepping through the door like a super door, like it's an hour away. Looking at the sky and the star bright, feeling I'm on holiday. But you and I should ride the coast and wind up in our favorite coast, just miles away. Roll another, ride another song like Jimmy Earl.
www.themouthmagazine.com